have now descended on the earth to annihilate the daitya, kings who oppose him as kings, and also to protect the godly. Dishyate ito daityo, lila yaya hayati, yas yahishita, santrasta, santrastas, chajit yaminishat, the false demon was so terrified that his laying frightened the demigods into leaving the heavenly kingdom. But by our good fortune, you have enjoyed the sport of killing him. Chandran Chikam Chaiva Malaranyam Chahastina Kamsam Chayatan Drakshye Harishwaranite Ho Tisyana Shanti Yamana Murada Narakasya Harijata Paharanam Indrasya Chaparajaya Udvaham Girakanyanam Viras Shokari Akshanam Rigaskya Mokshanam Sukshapa Dwarakaya Jagate Syamata Kasya Chamanir Avanam Sahavaya Yaya Mrita Putra Padaranja Brahmanasya Svadamata Pondakasya Vadam Paschat Kashpuryasya Deepanam Dantavakasya Nidhanam Chaikasya Chamahakata Yani Chanyan Giriyani Dwaraka Mahasan Baba Karta Akshyam Yaham Tami Geyani Kavibir Kupi. In just 2 days, O Almighty Lord, I will see the deaths of Chandra, Mushtika, and other wrestlers, along with those of the elephant Kupalyavida and King Kamsa, all by your hands. Then I will see kill Kaligana, Mura, Naraka, and the conch demon, and I will also see you steal the Parijana flower and defeat Indra. I will then see you marry many daughters of heroic kings after paying for them with your valor. Then, O Lord of the universe, in Dwaraka, you will deliver King Ray from a curse and take for yourself the Syamataka jewel together with another wife. You will bring back a Brahman's dead son from the abode of your servant Yamaraj, and thereafter you will kill Pondraka, burn down the city of Kashi, and annihilate Dantavakra and the king of Chedi during the great Rajasuya sacrifice. I shall see all these heroic pastimes, along with many others you will perform during your residence in Dwaraka. These pastimes are glorified on this earth in the songs of transcendental poets. Well, it goes on. Actually, let's just carry on until we come to the next pastime. Just a few more verses. Atate karupasya shakarishma mashaki vaya oksh akshavini nam nidhanam drakshasya juna sarate. Subsequently, I'll see you appear as kind of sarapai, serving as Arjuna's chariot driver and destroying entire armies of soldiers to rid the earth of her burden. Vishuddha Vijnana Ganam Swasamstaya Samapta Sarvatma Amokam Chitam Swateja Sanichin Vrita Maya Guna Pravaham Nagavantam Yimahi. Let us approach you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for shelter. You are full of perfectly pure spiritual awareness and are always situated in your original identity. Since your will is never thwarted, you have already achieved all possible desirable things, and by the power of your spiritual energy, urinate eternally aloof from the flow of the qualities of illusion. Tamishvara dhamma svashrayana atmanaya vinyarvitasyesha visheshtikalpana pidartana dhyata manusya vigraham natosvaturyam yadikrishmi sattvatam. I bow down to you, the supreme controller, who are dependent only on yourself. By your potency you have constructed the unlimited particular arrangements of this universe. Now you have appeared as the greatest hero among the yadus, rishis, and sattvatas, and have chosen to participate in human warfare. Sri Shukra Bhuvacha, Ekam Yadpatim Krishnam Bhagavata Pavaroni Pranikatya Ver Yanugyato Yayota Darshano Sada. Shukadeva Goswami said, having thus addressed Lord Krishna, the chief of the Yadu dynasty, Narada bowed down and offered him obeisances. Then that great sage and most eminent devotee took his leave from the Lord and went away, feeling great joy at having directly seen him.
That Krishna
has forgotten that he is meant to leave Vrindavan and go to Mathura and kill various demons there, including Kamsa, and then go to Dwarka. And all these things which Narayana is saying, that I am going to see you just in the next couple of days. I will see you do this. Kill Chandra Mushika. Kill Kumbhalya Pida. Kill Kamsa himself. And then I'll see you do various other things. Kill other demons. Build Dwarka. So, Lord Krishna was there in Vrindavan, and Lord Krishna became so absorbed in his transcendental pastimes there in Vrindavan that he just forgot everything else. He forgot that he had to go to Mathura and Dwarka and do all these things. He was perfectly happy, literally perfectly happy there in Vrindavan. And he was not thinking of leaving. He certainly had no desire to leave and do these other things, go to these other places and leave Vrindavan behind. He had no desire at all. So he was not going to do that. He was just going to stay on in Vrindavan and enjoy further pastimes. This was the plan of the Lord. But Narayana, who has very important parts to play in so many of the Lord's pastimes, he figures in Srimad Bhagavatam time and time again, doing all sorts of very important things. So here, he's also doing very important thing. Very important thing. He is reminding Krishna that you have to leave Vrindavan. You have other missions other than just enjoying your pastimes here. You have other things you're meant to do. So, get ready. Pack your bags. Because you're going to be going soon. But Krishna had forgotten. So Jiva Goswami explains in one of the sannyasas that as Narayana was speaking these very verses which we have just read, reminding Krishna, I'm going to see this and I'm looking forward to see you do that and different things. Shri Shri Radha Radha Dham Shri Chitanda Prabhu Shri Giri Radha Dham Ki. As Narayana was expressing himself in these ways, then Lord Krishna was remembering, Oh yes, that's right. Yes, I must do it. So, as these passages that we read, spoken by Narayana, as Narayana was speaking them, then Lord Krishna was remembering, yes. And then he adjusted his thinking and got ready to leave Vrindavan. And he left Vrindavan. That you'll read about shortly. So, this is a very interesting thing. Narayana is doing a very interesting thing. Actually, he was not just doing it now, but he had already started with that program by going and visiting Kamsa and doing a very, it's a very remarkable thing, which a very surprising thing. Narayana has already been to Kamsa, it's already been the You are in danger more than you think. And of course, what does that mean? What is the message to cancer? The message is, you can get yourself together and do something. You're in more danger than you think because the demigods have descended in the Gavi dynasty. They want to get rid of you. And not only the demigods, but so many personalities from the higher planets. And not only them, but the supreme personality of Godhead, who killed you in your previous life, he has also come, he has come again, and he has the same mission. So watch out, you better get him before he gets you. And not only that, but so many associates of the Supreme Lord have descended with him, and they've all taken birth in the Yadu dynasty, so you better do something about it. Now, the idea was, Narayana's idea, not that Narayana has looped. Somehow they got into some bad association and he stopped chanting his rounds and he started watching lots of TV and going to the movies and going to the disco and hanging out with the opposite sex and all these things. Not that this happened to Narayana, and therefore he became pro-cancer, pro-demons, and anti-Krishna, anti-demigods. Sometimes it happens. Some devotee gets into that association and turns against the devotees. This has happened. Not perhaps on a huge number of occasions, but it's happened on a number of occasions. Some devotee, somehow, due to some bad association, and somehow becoming involved in doing some wrong things which pollute the consciousness further. So, some devotee turns against the devotees, against the other devotees, and tries to harm them, or cause some damage, something to happen to the movement. Sometimes this happens. Steal some of the money, talk badly about some of the devotees and different things like this. Sometimes it happens and a devotee ends up becoming an enemy of the devotees. Some just go away and you just don't see them again. But some of them turn against the devotees and become an enemy. But this is not what happened to Narayana. He is not trying to get Krishna. He is not trying to get the demigods, to get back at them. But he is doing a very extraordinary thing. He is trying to stimulate the Lord to accelerate his pastimes. Well, pastimes, particularly he's trying to accelerate the pastimes of the Lord of killing the demons. First of all comes up. But then others, Dantavakra, Shishupala and others, fearsome demons. Narayana is the king. Things have slowed down in the pastimes. We've got to get our Lord into action again. Get him going again. Get him killing the demons again as fast as possible. Get rid of this concern. But the way that he initially tried to do that was, this might be a reverse psychology or sort of in reverse in one way or another. He wanted to stimulate cancer to do worse things. So that then Krishna, when he heard that cancer was doing worse things, then Krishna would feel the urgency more that I have to come forward more and do more sooner to rid the world of these demons. So now this was his plan in going to see Kamsa and warning Kamsa and telling Kamsa about all these things so that then Kamsa would start or increase. He would increase his program of atrocities against the devotees and the good people. And then when Krishna heard about that, Krishna would feel a greater urgency to do something about it and kill Kamsa and his friends. This is why Narada did that. And then here, Narada is coming, well, what happened was that Kamsa reacted and started killing more children and harassing more Brahmins and cows. Kamsa increased his program, his demonic program. But somehow or other, the second phase that the Lord would then become stimulated more into action, that didn't happen. So Narada took his plan into another phase. He went to the Lord and he spoke with the Lord that you've got to do more, please. Kill more demons, please. Quicker, please. But he didn't just come to the Lord and tell them, look, you know, you slow down on the job. Get yourself together. Get killing more. He didn't, in that direct, confrontational way, just directly tell the Lord. But rather, he did it this way, as we read, by saying that, oh, I know that in 2 days I'll see you kill Kamsa. I know it. And then after that, I'll see you kill Dantabhadra and others. He expressed himself like that. This is a more sort of genteel way, gentlemanly way of doing the same thing. More according to a type of etiquette that with seniors, you don't boss them around and speak to them as if you know better, as if you're trying to correct them, and like this, sort them out. You don't do that. With juniors, maybe. Well, even with juniors, it's not so easy that you can just shout at them, come on, what are you doing? You can't do that. It is an etiquette, Vaishnava etiquette, that one should not chastise anyone unless that person is your son or your disciple. So you can't chastise your daughter. Isn't that good? can't chastise your daughter, can't chastise anyone except your son or the son. Yeah. But then, so in other words, a lot of people will not be chastised very much in their earlier days or until they become disciples. But one of the duties of the spiritual master is to chastise. So, not that they sort of just make a habit of it, but Prabhupada said that. His spiritual master would chastise like anything, Prabhupada said. Very strongly. And he would use strong language. Fool, rascal, nonsense. Prabhupada said, all good words. Yeah, so watch out. If you get a spiritual master, you may think that, you know, oh, happy days, which is true. But then when one may find one gets chastised sometimes. But it is an expression of affection and concern. It is not just anger and letting off steam or frustration or something like that. But it is an attempt to help you, improve yourself, which you need to do. But with seniors, well, with anyone other than your sons or your disciples, you're not really meant to chastise them. Of course, chastising is one thing. But those who are senior, you're not even meant to instruct, even nicely. You have to find another way. Maybe some other person who is senior to the senior, equal to the senior. Maybe they can instruct or advise. But otherwise, unless it's an absolute emergency, one has to be very gentle and respectful in one's dealings with seniors, even if they're trying to do things wrong. So this is what Narada Muni is doing. He's being extremely gentle about it and expressing it from his own point of view, how he's looking forward to seeing those pastimes. Of course, this brings out another point, is that Narada Muni already knows what the pastimes are. He already knows. Yes. He has some special type of vision. Or maybe he just went shooting back the time. He bought a set at the Ratnavacha and he read it. But one way or another, he knows what is going to happen. Yes. The great devotees, and Narada Muni specifically pointed out as a case, they're sometimes called Trikalagya, that they know three phases of time, past, present, and future. Very clear. So sometimes Narada Muni, he knows what is going to happen, and therefore he can make some arrangements on that basis and help the devotees in that way. So we shouldn't underestimate the great devotees. They are empowered by Krishna. Everyone, well, in Sri Ashwatthaya Upanishad it says, Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitanam Eko Yo Vididati. Eko Bahonam Yo Vididati Kama. That there are two categories of eternal living beings. Nitya, Nityanam, Chaitanas, Chaitananam. But one category has many members. One group has many members. The other category has one member. And Eko, that one, Bhavana, Yogavidati, Karma, that one has been fulfilling the desires of the many since time immemorial. So Krishna is fulfilling the desires of everyone. He's fulfilling the desires of everyone and empowering everyone so that their lives can develop in the appropriate ways. For the non-devotees, the Lord is empowering them so they can get their karma, whatever that may be. Krishna is making the arrangements so they can get their karma. And if it is their karma to become great, powerful people, Krishna is seeing they get that shakti. He is empowering them. And if by their karma they are meant to be stupid and mess up everything, then Krishna is empowering them with tamaguna, the stupidity shakti, the murk shakti, mudha shakti or something. So then when they're empowered with that shakti of foolishness, they can do stupid things very nicely. So one point with that is we have to be very careful what we desire, because if we desire it enough, Krishna will fulfill the desire. And if it is the wrong thing, particularly for devotees, well, you know that is that story of the man who was walking in the forest or the jungle, and he had no food or water. He was very hungry and thirsty. So he was walking, and in the afternoon, he was so tired and feeling hungry and thirsty so much that he stopped, and he sat down under a tree, leaning against the tree. But it was a wish-fulfilling tree. He didn't know. So there he was, sitting there, feeling hungry and thirsty and tired. And he thought, I wish I could have a nice drink. Suddenly, there it was. Oh, amazing. So he drank it and said, that's wonderful. Then he thought, I wish I could have a big feast. There it was. Right in front of him, he had a big feast, and he understood, this is a wishful filling tree. How amazing. So he sat there. It was already some time in the afternoon. He sat there desiring this, desiring that, and all these things were coming, and he lost track of time. Suddenly he realized, the evening is coming. The sun has set. It's getting darker. At this time of the day, the tigers come. They come out to hunt. Suddenly from around behind the tree came a tiger. And before he could wish the tiger away, as they say, ganyamai hindi punta lang sa ibang para he was killed by the tiger. So you see, you have to watch out what you desire, because if you desire the wrong thing, and if you desire it a little strongly, then Krishna may fulfill your desire. And if it's the wrong thing, you may get it, and oh, you may get into trouble. The devotees may see, oh, look what he got. Here, what desires did he have to get that? Or worse, you may get it, and then you may become deviated from Krishna consciousness. So, but anyway, the great devotees like Narada Muni, they desire to please the Lord. They desire, well, Narada Muni particularly, he is a great preacher, and he desires to help the conditioned souls. He has desires like this. So therefore, Krishna empowers him to do that. Yes, in so many ways, he becomes empowered to help the conditioned souls. So therefore, we find Narada Muni is very expert, very brilliant at presenting Krishna consciousness in very relevant ways, depending on the audience, so that they are able to really gain something from it and benefit and advance in Krishna consciousness by his mercy. And therefore sometimes Narada Muni is empowered with this potency of Chikanagya to understand past, present, and even the future. So this is happening here. He's empowered with a special Shakti, and he is even helping Krishna. He is even helping Krishna by being Trikalagya and reminding the Lord. Of course, one point is that those Vrindavan pastimes are so wonderful, so captivating, uniquely so. They're the supreme pastimes. And therefore, once the Lord becomes absorbed in them, it's very hard to get him out. And even, particularly in Brihadbhagavatamrita, it's described there very elaborately, even when they got him out, the next day, the Lord had him down. And then he went to Mathura. And then later he went to Dwarka. So even they got him out of Vrindavan. But in Brihadbhagavatamrita, there's very vivid and dramatic description of Krishna in Dwarka. And Krishna in Dwarka is totally preoccupied remembering Vrindavan. So preoccupied that he is practically not involved in what's going on there in Dwarka. Everything is going on. He is a member of the royal family. They are ruling and running things, and he has many duties. But he just forgets about these things because he's remembering Vrindavan and the devotees there and the pastimes there. So again, Narada Muni came into Vrindavan. Everyone was in anxiety. Krishna has so many things to do, but he's not doing them. He doesn't even get up in the morning. He just lies there, moaning and groaning about Vrindavan. behave in an ideal sense. You have to help Krishna. Get him to come to his senses. So Narada Muni, being so expert and so much in power, what he did on one island, just near Dwarka, he built new Vrindavan, another Vrindavan. He built a replica of Vrindavan there. And when Krishna one time had collapsed unconscious due to separation from Vrindavan and the devotees of Vrindavan, Narada Muni had Balaram take Krishna on Garuda to new Vrindavan. And then he dressed Krishna as a cowherd boy, put a turban on, flute in his hand, stick for herding the cows, and Krishna came back to consciousness, and there he was, apparently in Vrindavan. There were lots of cows, Mother Yashoda was there, Radharani was there, but they were all deities, so they were immobile. So Krishna went and stole some butter right out of the hand of Mother Yashoda, but Mother Yashoda didn't move. And Krishna thought, wow, that was easy. What happened? Then he went to see Radharani to say goodbye before going out to herd the cows. And he kissed her on the cheek, but she didn't move. She didn't react. She did nothing. And Krishna, because he's so much in this altered state of consciousness, he didn't realize this is a deity. He thought, he said to Balaram, oh, she must be angry with me. She didn't move. She didn't say anything. I wonder what I did. And then he waved goodbye and said, don't worry, I'll make up for it when I come back later. We'll have some special pastimes and I'll make you feel better. So Krishna becomes so absorbed in the Vrindavan pastimes that he, nothing else really matters. Even Mathura, even Dwarka, they don't really matter to him. So therefore, Narada Muni had to come and remind him. So then Krishna killed one more demon. Which demon was that? No, in Vrindavan, he killed one more demon. Who was that? Vyosa. It's the last demon killed in Vrindavan. Then that night, Akura came. The next morning, Akura took Krishna out of Vrindavan. And then everything changes. Everything changes dramatically. Any comments or questions?